ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 We're up to 39, I guess, and 40. 39 and 40. This is Canto 3, Chapter 25, Kapilaneya's Instructions. Imam lokam tatai vamum.
Imam lokam tatai vamum.
Atmanam ubhayayinam.
Atmanam ubhayayinam.
Atmanam anuye cheha.
Atmanam anuye cheha.
Yerayak pashavo griha.
Yerayak pashavo griha.
Vishvidya sarvanam yamscha.
Vishvidya sarvanam yamscha.
Mamevam vishvato mukham.
Mamevam vishvato mukham.
Vajanyananyaya bhaktya.
Vajanyananyaya bhaktya.
Tamrityor atipareye.
Tamrityor atipareye.
Imam lokam tataiv amum.
Imam lokam
Atmanam ubhayayinam.
Atmanam ubhayayinam.
Atmanam anuye cheha.
Atmanam anuye cheha.
Nirayak pashavo griha.
Nirayak pashavo griha.
Vishvidya sarvan anyamscha.
Vishvidya sarvan anyamscha.
Mam evam vishvato mukham.
Mam evam vishvato mukham.
Vajanyananyaya bhaktya.
Vajanyananyaya bhaktya.
Tanmrityor atipareye.
Tanmrityor atipareye.
Imam. This.
Yes.
Lokam.
Lokam.
World.
World.
Tata.
Tata.
Accordingly.
Accordingly.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Amum.
Amum.
That world.
That world.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
The subtle body.
The subtle body.
Ubhaya.
Ubhaya.
In both.
In both.
Ayinam.
Ayinam.
Traveling.
Traveling.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
The body.
Body.
Anu.
Anu.
In relation with.
In relation with.
Ye.
Ye.
Those who.
Those who.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Ye.
Ye.
That which.
That which.
Rayaha.
Rayaha.
Wealth.
Wealth.
Pashavaha.
Pashavaha.
Cattle.
Cattle.
Griha.
Griha.
Houses.
Houses.
Visvidya.
Visvidya.
Having given up.
Having given up.
Sarvan.
Sarvan.
All.
All.
Anyan.
Anyan.
Other.
Other.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Mam.
Mam.
Me.
Me.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Vishvatak Mukham.
Vishvatak Mukham.
The all-pervading Lord of the universe.
The all-pervading Lord of the universe.
Bhajanti.
Bhajanti.
They worship.
They worship.
Ananyaya.
Ananyaya.
Unflinching.
Unflinching.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
By devotional service.
By devotional service.
Tan.
Tan.
Them.
Them.
Rityo.
Mrityo.
Of death.
Of death.
Adipareye.
Adipareye.
I take to the other side.
I take to the other side.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus the devotee who worships me, the all-pervading Lord of the universe, in unflinching devotional service, gives up all aspirations to be promoted to heavenly planets, or to become happy in this world with wealth, children, cattle, home, or anything else, in relationship with the body. I take him to the other side of birth and death. Purport. Unflinching devotional service, as described in these two verses, means engaging oneself in full Krishna consciousness or devotional service, accepting the Lord as all in all. Since the Supreme Lord is all-inclusive, if anyone worships him with unflinching faith, he has automatically achieved all other opulences and performed all other duties. The Lord promises herein that he takes his devotee to the other side of birth and death. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended that one who aspires to go beyond birth and death should have no material possessions. This means that one should not try to be happy in this world or to be promoted to the heavenly world, nor should he try for material wealth, children, houses, or cattle. This paragraph's a little long, so I'll comment on the first paragraph and then read more. We're Martyas. We are mortal beings. We're living in what is called Martyaloka. You can call the whole universe Martyaloka if you want, but sometimes it means particularly down here on the lower planets, as opposed to the heavenly planets and the even higher planets of the sages, the rishis, down here, earth and this part of the universe, it's called Martyaloka. The place where people are dying. Of course, everybody in the material universe is going to die, including Lord Brahma and all the sages, all the celibate sages. Their celibacy doesn't excuse them from having to die. They're going to die too, eventually. Maybe after hundreds and millions or even billions of years, but they're going to die. Now the difference down here is that we're dying all the time. We're dying every few years and having to take another body. The main thing we do down here is die. It's the main activity of this part of the universe is dying. Mm-hmm. So it's called Martyaloka, the place where there's a lot of dying going on. You know, regular. I mean, it's like you go to work every day, you know, at a job. You have a desk job, you're a clerk. So you're a clerk, because you do it, you don't do it 24 hours a day, but every day you're doing this clerk business. So you're a clerk. So every couple of years we're dying. We're dyers, marches. That's our business. That's what we do down here. And some of us, those of us who are in insect bodies, and so on, we die every few days. And take birth again, and die again. This is Martyaloka. It's a place you should want to leave and go to someplace better where you don't have to die so often. Or even go somewhere where you don't have to die ever. Would be preferable. If we understand what our situation is, we should want a better one. And that requires going somewhere else. Anybody who's living down here is subject to those rules. You have to die very frequently. And that death may not be pleasant, and it's not at the time that you choose. We never get to choose it. Or only way to choose, you want to be in control of your life, the control of your death, you'll have to commit suicide. But there's no other way to decide what time you're going to die. And committing suicide is not a good idea either. It has karmic consequences. We shouldn't want to do that. We don't have a choice when we're going to die. It's a bad deal. Very bad business to have gotten involved in this. It's like you're renting a house and you've made some sort of contract, but not a very proper one. Because you haven't specified how long you're allowed to stay there. You can get, according to the terms of the contract you agreed to sign, you can get kicked out any time. What kind of proper lease is that? That there's no specified period how long you're allowed to stay. And that's the contract we've signed. We've taken this material body and we've agreed to the terms that we can be kicked out at any moment and we're not going to be warned. We won't know when we have to leave. Not a good business deal. So we should renegotiate and try to arrange for a better arrangement. That why should we be helpless in the grips of death? So what if we want to get out of this? bad contract. Well, go to our lawyer and take advice. How can I get out of this contract? So the advice that our transcendental lawyer is giving us is that Lord Chaitanya therefore recommends that one who aspires to go beyond birth and death should have no material possessions. That's the formula. That's the advice. Give up all possessiveness. We have to become akinchana. Namo kinchana vittaya. We had that yesterday. That was Kunti Dev's prayer. Namo kinchana vittaya kaivali. Well, before she said, tata paramaham sanam. Amalan. Tata paramaham sanam. Muninam amalat manam. Bhakti yoga vidhanar tam katam pashyema istriyaha. You've come down here to this Marcha Loka from your Amarcha Loka, Goloka. You've come down here to where all of us are dying, especially to deliver the Paramahamsas, the most qualified, the great devotees, the munis, the great sages. Your business is mainly with them. So we're just simple ladies, Kunti Devi is praying, not very qualified women. How can we have the privilege to see you? How do we get this great fortune? And then actually she says, you know, that you've saved us from so many. You've really been very kind to us, Krishna. You did appear, but you usually appear when we're in trouble. This is our particular lila with you. That we're always being persecuted by our enemies, and you're coming when we're in the most danger and most helpless, and we call out to you helplessly. So Vipada Shantu Pakshashvad, please send these calamities again and again, because that's the only times we ever actually get to see you. Other times you're busy with your other devotees. Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad Apuna Bhava Darshanam. Please come. I mean, please send these troubles, dangers, so that you'll come and save us again and again and give us your darshan. Where does that come? The vocation of Vittaya. Oh, no, but before that. The verse before that is. Narha, oh, yeah, yeah. Sri Aishwarya and Jaka. So we're the simple women. And the great, you come supposedly for the benefit of these big devotees and big sages and paramahamsas, and we're very amazed that you're coming to us who are nobody. But actually jamai shaya shruta shribir edamana vada puma naivar hatya pijatum vai tvama kinchana gocharam. Somebody who's got a big position and got lots of qualifications, he can be proud of it. And that is his disqualification. Somebody who's proud, Edamana Bada, his pride is puffed up by his birth, his riches, his power over other people, his education, his beauty. These things make him or her proud, then that disqualifies them. Naivar Hati, you may be merciful to everyone, even your enemies, even those who ignore you. But someone who's proud of what he has and what he thinks he is cannot, with all humility and all helplessness, call out to you. Naivar Hati, we know how to call out to you because we're helpless. And we're nobody and we have nothing. There's that song by George Gershwin. I've got plenty of nothing and nothing is plenty for me. This is the attitude of an akinchana. I've got plenty of nothing. Nothing is plenty for me. This is also Kunti Dev's song. You are akinchana gocharam. You're accessible. You make yourself accessible to those who don't have any material possessions. And those who have, the rich and the powerful, you don't make yourself accessible. But that should be understood properly. Krishna has some very rich devotees. and some very powerful devotees, and still he accepts them. And there are some poor people in the world who are powerless, and Krishna doesn't accept them. So it's not just Krishna is some sort of socialist and he doesn't like the capitalist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It's more subtle than that. It's a little more complex than that. Akinchana doesn't mean someone who doesn't have money in his pocket or someone who nobody listens to. But it means someone who doesn't identify or think that he that isn't proud of owning something. Yudhishthira and his brothers were Akinchana. Kunti herself, she's talking like this, but she's a rich princess, a privileged princess from a most powerful family. You know, she's not a beggar from the street. She's got lots of privileges, and she could call down demigods to get her children. So she's not an ordinary lady with no power and no ability. But she's considering herself a Akinchana, and she's right. And her sons, the Pandavas, are Akinchana. Yudhishthira, who became emperor of the biggest kingdom, the most important kingdom in the world, he was Akinchana. He didn't have anything because he didn't identify himself as the owner of anything or as the master of anybody. That's Akinchana, is your attitude. Whether you have money in your pocket, whether you have influence or not, it's how you think of yourself that makes you a Akinchana or the opposite. So Krishna is the friend. He's accessible to the Akinchanas. And so when Prabhupada says we should have no material possessions, it doesn't mean throw all your possessions in the garbage, or give everything away, become a beggar. It doesn't necessarily, maybe somebody should do that, but not for everybody. It means you shouldn't be possessed in. Whatever you have, you should understand that that's Krishna's property and use it for him. That's Akinchana. That's having no material possessions. You should make, not that you have no possessions, but you should make all your possessions spiritual. No material possessions. You should put them all, the title for everything, in Krishna's name. In fact, use it only, everything you have, only for Krishna. Then Krishna will take you to the other side of birth and death. It's a big ocean. You can't swim across the ocean. Even taking a boat is not an easy thing. Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks taking a boat across the Atlantic Ocean. But Krishna will take you right across, easily. You can't do it on your own. Nobody can do it themselves. But Krishna can take you to the other side of birth and death. Harim vina naiva sritim taramti. Without the grace of Lord Hari, nobody can transcend death. What's the beginning of that? Yameva viditva atimrityumeti. Nanyapantavijatayanaya. I think there's a couple of Upanishads. Knowing that absolute truth, one can go beyond death, and there's no other way to do it. And not just knowing Krishna theoretically, you have to become his devotee. Then he will take you to the other side of birth and death. There's no other way. Actually, no one can give liberation but the Supreme Lord. He has a few agents who are deputized on his behalf to distribute liberation, distributors, like Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati, but they are not independent. They can grant liberation as agents for the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, you can't get liberation from anybody but the Supreme Lord. If you approach Lord Mahadev as an independent actor, then you get nothing from him. Nothing, you get no liberation. If you approach him as the agent of the actual source of the product, the Supreme Lord, then you can get liberation. Or if you approach the Supreme Lord and his devotee directly. So we shouldn't, Prabhupada just says, we should not try to be happy in this world or be promoted to the heavenly world, nor should we try for material wealth, children, houses, or cattle. If Krishna gives us houses, cattle. We can use them for his service, children. But we shouldn't be endeavoring. That shouldn't be the basis of our endeavor in life. Whatever Krishna gives us, take it and use it. And whatever he doesn't give us, be satisfied without it. If he gives it, be satisfied with it. If he doesn't give it, be satisfied without it. And make the main goal of our life becoming Krishna's pure devotees. I didn't read the whole purport. If you don't mind, I'll read the rest of the purport. There's two more paragraphs, a long one. Are we running out of time? Do you have to go on purpose? Ah, well, give me 5 minutes, I'll read the rest of the purport. How liberation is imperceptibly achieved by a pure devotee, and what the symptoms are, have already been explained. For the conditioned soul, there are two statuses of living. One status is in this present life, and the other is our preparation for the next life. If I am in the mode of passion, then I may be preparing for promotion to the heavenly planets, higher planets. If I am in the mode of... I'm sorry, that was the mode of goodness. If I am in the mode of goodness, then I may be preparing for promotion to the higher planets. If I am in the mode of passion, then I shall remain here in a society where activity is very prominent. And if I am in the mode of ignorance, I may be degraded to animal life or a lower grade of human life. But for a devotee, there is no concern for this life or the next life, because in any life, he does not desire elevation, immaterial prosperity, or a high grade or low grade life. He prays to the Lord, "My dear Lord, it does not matter where I am born, let me be born, even as an ant, in the house of a devotee." A pure devotee does not pray to the Lord for liberation from this material bondage. Actually, the pure devotee never thinks that he is fit for liberation. Considering his past life and his mischievous activities, he thinks that he is fit to be sent to the lowest region of hell. If in this life I am trying to become a devotee, this does not mean that in my many past lives I was 100% pious. That is not possible. A devotee, therefore, is always conscious of his real position. Only by his full surrender to the Lord, by the Lord's grace, are his sufferings made shorter. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, "Surrender unto me, and I will give you protection from all kinds of sinful reaction." That is his mercy. But this does not mean that one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord has committed no misdeeds in his past life. A devotee always prays, "For my misdeeds, may I be born again and again. But my only prayer is that I may not forget your service." The devotee has that much mental strength that he prays again to the Lord. "May I be born again and again, but let me be born in the home of your pure devotee so that I may get a chance again to develop myself." A pure devotee is not anxious to elevate himself in his next birth. He has already given up that sort of hope. In any life in which one is born as a householder or even as an animal, one must have some children, some resources, or some possessions. But a devotee is not anxious to possess anything. He is satisfied with whatever is obtainable by God's grace. He is not at all attached to improving his social status or improving the status of education of his children. He is not neglectful, he is dutiful. But he does not spend too much time on the upliftment of temporary household or social life. He fully engages in the service of the Lord, and for other affairs, he simply spares as much time as absolutely necessary. Yatarham upayunjataha. Such a pure devotee does not care for what is going to happen in the next life, or in this life. He does not care even for family, children, or society. He fully engages in the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that without the knowledge of the devotee, The Lord arranges for his devotee to be immediately transferred to his transcendental abode just after leaving his body. After quitting his body, he does not go into the womb of another mother. The ordinary common living entity after death is transferred to the womb of another mother according to his karma or activities to take another type of body. But as far as the devotee is concerned, he is at once transferred to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. That is the Lord's special mercy. How it is possible is explained in the following verses. Because he is all powerful, the Lord can do anything and everything. He can excuse all sinful reactions. He can immediately transfer a person to Vaikuntha Loka. That is the inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is favorably disposed to the pure devotees. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay, I think everyone wants to go in Pranitana. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila.